establishing priorities of relationships. And we are to have relationships with a lot of people. But in having relationships with people, you have to have priorities. Number one being God. Number two being your spouse, your family, you know, your church, your friends. But then there's the stranger. It's the people that we might just see one time in our life. And what's so neat, and I'll share the story in just a minute, but we had a once in a lifetime encounter with a young lady down in Baton Rouge as we were leaving Thursday. And it was quite touching and quite awesome, and it kind of reminded me of this message. In fact, Jason reminded me of this message. And I wanted to go back and talk about it again. We're in the Servolution era. We're in this time of the year where we're thinking about reaching out to people and loving on people, bringing people into the kingdom. And you know, the number one reason for doing Servolution is to bring people into the kingdom of God. That's why we're out there doing that. You say, well, why aren't we preaching? We are preaching. We're preaching with acts of kindness. That's what we're doing. We're preaching with acts of kindness. Some people have to have their hearts loosened up before they're ready to hear the gospel. And part of what we do through Servolution in those acts of kindness is that we're loosening hearts. We're loosening hearts. It's perceived in most of the world that the church is like this, with their hands out wanting something from them. And we have our hands out like this. Here, we want to give you this. And that just blows people's minds when you do stuff like that. That will melt hard hearts when we can do acts of kindness. And learning to live this kind of lifestyle, this is not something that we just want to do when we think about it. But we want to learn to be available to the Holy Spirit at any moment in our life to do acts of kindness, whether it is as a church or as individuals. You know, we handed out cards last year. We haven't done that this year. And these are called random acts of kindness cards, where you pick a project. Maybe you tip your waitress three times what you would normally tip her. Or you pay for somebody's meal and you leave this with them, and but you do some kind of random act of kindness for someone as God leads you to do that. So with that in mind, I want you to go with me to we're going to start in the book of John chapter 4. And we see Jesus living in the moment, and we expect Jesus to live in the moment. But one of the things that Jesus came to do is he came to give us an example on how to live life, how to live the Christian life. Jesus lived the Christ-like life. Sometimes we think that Jesus only came to redeem us, and he did come to redeem us. He did come to pay the price for our sins. He did come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But he also came to model for us the kind of life that we as Christians are supposed to live. We are supposed to go from selfishness into selflessness. And Jesus is the epitome of selflessness. He had no selfishness about him whatsoever. Was he tempted to be selfish? Yes. In fact, he was tempted just like we are, but yet without sin. And can I say that when we are selfish, that we are sinful? Anytime that we put our own selfish whatever above the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that's wrong. And I know people who won't reach out to other people is because, well, I have low self-esteem, or I am shy, or I've been hurt. But did you notice what one word is in all of those sentences? Is I. It's I. And it doesn't matter if it's low self-esteem or you've been hurt or whatever it is. When we refuse to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit, it's selfishness. Whatever excuse that we use, it's selfishness. And God is calling us not to be selfish, but he's calling us to learn to be selfless. And let me tell you, one of the things that he will do as we learn to live selfless lives, he uses that as an avenue to grow us, but not only grow us, but it is to bring the blessing back around to us in our day-to-day life. See, we believe this. One of the things that we believe is that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you. But it is. There is a lifestyle of giving that is more blessed than receiving. Now, I have been tremendously blessed by receiving. I received eternal life. I received the Holy Spirit. I received several blessings from the Lord as you have too. But if it says it's more blessed to give than to receive, does God have a life for us that is tremendous based on us getting outside of ourselves and sowing into other people? Well, I don't have time. There you go, I. Well, I'm afraid. There you go, I. Well, I'm just not made that way. There you go again, I. Folks, I was one of the most backward, shy people that you'd ever want to meet when I was in high school. I had low self-esteem. I had tremendously low self-esteem. I did not assert myself in crowds. I would not because I was so self-conscious that I would not. And it stunted my emotional growth as a person. It stunted my maturity. But bottom line, it was selfish. You cannot live a selfish lifestyle and live the kind of life that I'm talking about here. It's learning how to live in the moment. Now, I want to read John chapter 4. We're going to begin with verse 3. It says, Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. There was something in Jesus' heart that was drawing him towards Samaria. Something, maybe he didn't know what it was, but he made the statement, I must needs go through Samaria. There was something that was drawing him. There was something that was urging him. There was something on the inside of him that was pulling him in a particular direction. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had a certain pulling to pick up the phone and call somebody? Have you ever had a certain urging to go and see someone you're thinking about someone? Something's amazing about that I've noticed this happening time and time and time again. I'll be thinking about someone and in the next few minutes I'll see them. And I'm thinking, what's up with that? Is that more than just a coincidence? Well, if it's a coincidence, it keeps happening over and over and over. Maybe the Holy Spirit is working on something. Maybe he's trying to develop a sensitivity in our hearts where he can use us beyond the normal. See, we're called to live beyond the norm. We're not just supposed to be regular folk. We're supposed to be folks that are infused with eternal life and folks that are infused with the power of God. Well, that's not just so you can shout in church. That's not just so you can come to church and get goosey bumps. That's so... Or goose flesh. That's what they say in English. Goose flesh. You know, that's so that God can use you for the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. He wants to use people in his kingdom. He don't want to just use preachers. He wants to use people. You know, preachers are people. They are. They're not robots. They're people. Just like you. In fact, When we start preparing for ministry, one of the things that God does is he starts using us as people. We are people that God uses. And many times part of our upbringing and God bringing us into ministry is us learning how to be used by God as a lay person, not as a minister. But God wants to use us. And Jesus had this drawing to go into Samaria. So he came to a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar. You know what Sychar means? It means drunkenness. Yeah. He's drawing him not into a good place. He's drawing him into a place where there are messed up people. You know, we live in a messed up world. We live in a world that has got a lot of messed up people. All you got to do is get out there and you're going to see messed up people. In fact, you can go to church and see some messed up people. In fact, we have some people here that have been messed up. In fact, some of us are still messed up. And we wear the right mask and we talk the right talk, but we're still messed up, aren't we? So the Holy Spirit was drawing him into Samaria to a particular place called Sychar, which means drunkenness. And at this place, there is a woman at the well. Now, I love this story. And I'm not going to read all of this. I'll go back and read it later. But Jesus begins to have conversation with this woman at the well. Now, let me tell you a little secret about being available for the moment. When you come into particular places and you meet people, talk to them. Talk to them. Talk to people. Isn't that deep? That's a deep, deep revelation. Talk to people. But let me tell you what not to talk about. Don't talk about you. If they want to know about you, they'll ask you. Have you ever been around people that all they talk about is themselves? Huh? Have you ever been around people that all they want to talk about is what they're interested in themselves? What their problems are, what this is. You know, and they're talking about themselves and they're not saying anything that you're interested in. But I've noticed something. And I've asked people, because I can go into places and like restaurants and I'll sit down and I'll start talking to waitresses or people. And the first thing I know, they open up their lives and they're telling me their difficulties and they're telling me their life stories. And I'm thinking, I asked Jason the other day, I said, Jason, why do they do that? He says, because you ask questions. And I guess that's true. When I see people, I ask questions. Sometimes my sons get mad at me because I ask them questions. But that's my way. I talk to people and I ask them questions about them. Them. I want to know about them. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. When you show interest in someone, guess what? It does something to people. When you talk to people and you ask them, how is your day? It is good to see you today. Are you having a good day? And I'm not talking about just, no, how's the weather? Nice weather we're having. No, it's not that kind of talk. You're penetrating. And there's people that will close down. You back off. There are people who will open up. You'll have opportunity. It's called living in the moment. See, wherever you are, let me give you some good advice. Wherever you are, be there. It's so easy for me, especially when I have tasks. This remodel thing is just, you know, I've been pulling my hair out. We're trying to get stuff done and we're trying to coordinate with the different people that are coming in and all of the things that we've got going on in the church and the health clinic and the step studies and, you know, trying to go around so that CR can still meet and all of those kind of things. And it's just, you get so preoccupied that you forget to be wherever you are. You forget to be aware of wherever you are. And we get so busy in life sometimes at our jobs or whatever that we're doing that we're so caught up in making a living that we forget to live. We forget to be where we're at. We forget to be conscious of God in our lives and what He's wanting to say to us and what He's wanting to do for us. And we're not conscious of that because we're doing our jobs. Life is not just about doing your job. Your life is about your interaction and your relationships with other people. And that's what we need to be all about. We need to be all about that. So Jesus began to engage this woman. And He began to ask her some questions. The first thing He asked her was for a drink. Would you give me a drink? And it amazed her because she was considered by the Jews to be a person that Jews didn't deal with. Samaritans were half Jew. They had intermarried with people that were not Jewish. She was the offspring of that. And they were considered to be less than socially acceptable. We could call it racial. We could call it social class. We could call it whatever we want to call it. But Jews usually didn't have anything to do with Samaritans because they were kind of they looked down their pointy nose at them. I like to say their religious nose. Besides that, she's messed up. And she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, would ask a drink of me, being a Samaritan?" That opened the door. Jesus stepped a foot in. He says, "You know what? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you would ask for living water." He made a connection. Water, living water. Water, living water. And she began to inquire. And He asked her another question. As He began to minister to her, He was asking her questions. He was not really preaching at her, but He was sowing seed into her. Don't you hate it? I mean, when you meet certain Christians and they're all up in your face about spiritual stuff and they're preachy. I mean, I don't think that is enticing to lost people. Because, brother, you know, you put on your preachy voice and you're real preachy. Are you born again? Are you, is your name written in the book of life? What's the book of life? You know, we get all this thing up and we're trying to witness, and that's good that we're trying to witness, but sometimes we go about it in a funky way. Sometimes if we would just learn to relate to the person that we're trying to talk to and get them talking and talk to them about them, you'd be surprised what opens up. Anyway, so Jesus goes on with this woman. And finally He asks her the question. He says, "Where's your husband?" And Jesus is getting to the crux of the matter by asking questions. "Where's your husband?" She says, "Sir, I have no husband." And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up. And I love it when the Holy Spirit shows up. Because when the Holy Spirit shows up, it's the right moment, it's the right time, and something good is fixing to happen. He says, "You have truly said right, because you don't have a husband. You have had five husbands, and the man that you're with now is not your husband." He read her mail. How did He do that? Well, He was Jesus. No, He didn't do it by being Jesus. He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus didn't draw on His power as the Son of God to know all things. He did it the same way that you and I did it, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's called the Word of Knowledge. It's one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You ought to read about those. The Word of Knowledge. The Holy Spirit gave Him insight into this woman's life, and He read her mail. Now, He didn't have a big audience when He was doing this. It was one-on-one. The TV cameras were not there. I mean, it wasn't the gospel show. It was one-on-one ministry. And the Holy Spirit loves to work one-on-one. And she says, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." And He goes on and He begins to minister to her. And the Bible says that she went forth from that place. She left her water pot. You know why she left her water pot? She found a new kind of water. She found about the living water. And the Bible says that she left her water pot and she went into the city and she began to say to all of these people, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. She was so blown away by that encounter that it absolutely changed her life. You know how it started? It started with just a conversation. It started by just asking a question. I'm convinced that the greatest form of evangelism is one-on-one. I'm convinced that the greatest type of evangelism is relationship evangelism. And I think that this is one of the things that Servolution opens the door for, is that we can establish relationships in our community with people that we don't know. And you wash their car, and you give them a hot dog while you're washing their car, and you won't take their money when they try to pay you. That does something to people's hearts. And they're thinking, maybe there's a church in this town that's not about this, but that is really about this. You know, there's a quote from the movie Braveheart that says this: every man dies, but not every man really lives. I want to live my life, don't you? I don't want to just exist. I want to live. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in people. I want to make a difference in relationships that I have with other people. I want this church to make a difference with relationships that we have with people. I want to talk to you just a bit. Now, there are some other scriptures in there where the apostles, I think of Peter and John, they're on their way to church one day, and this is in Acts chapter 3. They're on their way to church one day, and they're not thinking about anything but going to church, and along one of the gates that goes into the temple, called the Gate Beautiful, there's a crippled man standing there, and he's begging alms. And, you know, Peter and John are just talking about going to church and what we're going to do when we get out of church. We're probably going to go down to Ryan's, you know, for lunch, and then we're going to go do this. And there's this crippled man at the Gate Beautiful, and he looks at him, and he's begging alms, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up. How did he show up? Did he just come and go, boom? No, he impressed in their heart something about that person. They noticed that person, and that person was looking at them expecting to receive something. He's expected to receive money. But Peter looked, fastened his eyes on him. He says, you know what? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him and lifted him up, and his ankle bones received strength, and he began to walk. And the Bible says that he was walking and leaping and praising God. What? How did that happen? By conversation. By an impulse of the Holy Spirit. By that inward witness of the Holy Spirit that just caused them to notice somebody. But you know what? If your head is full of your stuff and my problems and I'm having this and, you know, got to pay these bills and I got to work and I don't have time and you're all preoccupied and you're all troubled, you'll walk by opportunities all day long. And we don't need to walk by opportunities. We need to be aware of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can jump on those opportunities when they come by. You know what? If you work somewhere, if you work in a grocery store, they walk into your store every day. If you're a nurse, you go in and out of their rooms every day. How do you know that the Holy Spirit won't have you do or say something to someone that'll make a difference in their lives? It's not big stuff, folks. It's not the big revival. It's the one-on-one encounter that's so important. How can we live in the moment? How can we do that? I love this quote. It says, great opportunities to help others seldom come, but small ones surround us every day. But we don't look for them. How often do we pray, Lord, bring me across somebody's path today that I can say or do something for you? Do we stop and think and to do that? Or is it like we set our alarm clocks in the morning and we hit snooze how many times? Till it's the last minute. Then we jump up and we jump in the shower and we grab something going out the door. We're putting our pants on, getting into the car. We're driving crazy down the road and we slide into work. We punch the time clock and that sets your day. And we don't even stop to say, God, you've done so much for me. Jesus, you paid such a price for me. Is there something I can do for you today? Is there someone that I can make a difference in their life? Lord, just bring me across their path and show me, and I'll be glad to do whatever I can do. Do we stop and do that? Can I answer that? No. Not very often. But we need to learn to live in the moment. We need to live for these moments. What made early Christianity so powerful? It's people who knew how to live in the moment that they were at. You're going to live this life, you might as well live. Mother Teresa said this. She says, if you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. If you can't feed 100 people, feed just one. You can't save everybody, can you? But you can save one, can't you? Reminds me of remember the story we told about the starfish? All these starfish wash up on the sea, and this little kid was out there and he was throwing them starfish back, and this guy saw him and said, Son, you'll never get the job done. There's too many of them. You might as well quit. He had a little starfish in hand and he throws it out and says, I made a difference in that one's life. And there's a huge thing out there and it's overwhelming. And there's a lot of hurt out there and there's a lot of people hurting and sighing and crying and dying. And we can't make a difference in every one of their lives, but at least we can make a difference in one. We can make an impact where we're at. We can make a difference where we're at if we just learn to live in the moment. I looked down here and saw the word money. We learn to live in the moment. Let me read you the money quote. Waste your money and you're out only money. But waste your time and you've lost part of your life. I wonder how many opportunities that we have squandered. I want to end with the story that I alluded to. We went to... Five of us went down to Baton Rouge for the art conference and had a wonderful time. I don't travel well. I don't like traveling. To me, Little Rock is a long trip. Sometimes to me, Batesville's a long trip. I like to go from 501 Sweet Gum to right here and back. That's about right. Sometimes Little Rock's a long, but Baton Rouge, it took us 10 hours to get there. It's just... Oh, will we ever get there? And you're tired and you're in a motel room and, you're tossing and turning because you're not in your bed. And I had to sleep with Joe and he kicks and snores. Jason was in the other room. I could hear him snoring in there. Aaron had got paper towel and sticking in his ears. It's funny. We had a good time, but we were tired going. They kept you hopping. We didn't get any breaks much. And they just kept us going. And then there was a 10-hour trip home. We were tired. So we stopped as we were leaving Baton Rouge, and we went into this restaurant, this steakhouse. And we were sitting there, and this little waitress comes up and begins to talk to us. She begins to wait on us. And I'm always going on with people. My wife says I flirt. I guess flirting, it has to do with an intent, and I didn't have an intent other than I just trying to break the ice with the waitress. And I thought she was about 22, 23. I think she was 30 when we got more into the story. And we were sitting there, and she was waiting on us, and she asked me what I wanted to drink, and I said, I want sweet tea like me. So she started calling me the sweet one or something, and And, you know, I thought, is this girl flirting with me because she thinks I'm flirting with her? And so we began to interact every time she would come back to the table. And one of the ways that I diffused that is I took my somehow we got talking about our families, and I took my Facebook thing out. I said, I want to show you the girl that stops my heart. And I got a picture of me and Ella dancing on my profile page. And I showed her a picture of me and Ella, and I, you know, we're dancing and all of that. And that just changed the whole flavor of what we were talking about during that time. So she began to open up and tell us about her family. She says, I've got three children, 1 5, 1 4, 1 2 or something like that. And so every time she would come back, she'd tell a little bit more of her story. She was opening up, sharing her life with us. Now, why do they do that? It's because you show interest in people. You ask questions. You don't get nosy. I mean, you ask questions, and they'll tell you everything that they want you to know. And finally, she said, you know, I've just gone through a divorce. I am the victim of domestic abuse. Radar starts popping up now. Okay, why does she tell me that? I'm a victim of domestic abuse. In fact, she says on the 3rd, the 10th, my husband broke my neck. He beat me so bad he broke my neck. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Now I see this girl in a whole different light. Before, she was this pretty little petite looking waitress that was we were having fun with and going back and forth. But now she opens and bares her heart. Now I'm sure she doesn't do that with everyone who comes into the restaurant. But for some reason, she opens her heart and she begins to share that. You know, and it just breaks your heart when you see something like that. Here she is, a single mom. She had to move back in with her parents, raising three kids, and her husband beat her and broke her neck. Wow. So we get ready to leave. And she brings the ticket, and I'm sitting there looking at the ticket, and I said, guys, we need to do something. And I was going to write some extra tips. Well, one of the guys with us and said, don't put any tip on there. He said, here, give her this. And he handed me this card and a $100 bill. Now, our ticket was $111. How many of you know a $100 bill is a good tip? Let me take a little side journey right here. My sons, at least two of them, worked as waiters. Chris worked his way through college as a waiter. I have known waitresses. They hate Sundays. Do you know why they hate Sundays? It's because church people are so rude and tip terrible. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Listen, let me give you some advice. Please do something for me. If you're rude and don't tip, don't tell them you come to Believers. Don't tell them you know Jesus. That's horrible. Just a side note. That's for free. You know, we come to church and we talk about being generous. We ought to go out there and practice it a little bit. And one of the ways that you can do that is, if they get your steak wrong, don't show your tail. You know what? If they get, and my steak wasn't that, I ordered medium and it was pink in the middle. I could have showed my tail. But you know what I did? I ate my steak. Because something was happening that was more important than the steak. See, we make too big a business out of how our meat's cooked. And we show our tails. And we leave a bad impression for the church and the kingdom and Jesus. We act self-righteous sometimes, and we don't need to be that way. There's a good way to do that. Say, honey, would you please take this back and have them cook this just a little bit more? It's just a little bit, needs to be cooked a little bit more. You don't have to blow out your nose and say, can't y'all get anything right? That's terrible. But anyway, back to my story. So he hands me this card and a $100 bill, and they run away. And he said, now, you don't need to put this in the deal or leave it on the table because somebody else might get it. You need to put this in her hand. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. And I'm already feeling emotional about this whole deal. So I'm holding this thing with a $100 bill wrapped around it, and she was nowhere to be seen. So I asked one of the other waitresses, would you tell our waitress to come here? So they went back and got her, and she comes out like, uh-oh, I'm fixing to get chewed out or something. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I didn't want to make a big deal out of this thing. I just soon left it on the table and snuck out the door. And I said, we want you to have this. And I just stuck it in her hand, and I turned around and walked away. She looked down and saw what it was, and she just began to cry. And I was tuning up about like I am right now. And I turned around and walked, and I got almost out of the restaurant, and I heard this voice, hey, mister. I thought, oh, crap. You're not supposed to say that, but I did. And I turn around, and this girl is running at me. And she bear hugs me around the neck in the middle of that restaurant, crying. Now, I don't know what God was up to. I don't know what he wanted to do unless he just wanted to show that girl that there was somebody who knew Christ, that cared about her, and that not only somebody that knew Christ, but that God loved her, because we gave her this little card that says, please accept this simple act of kindness as an effort to show you the love of Jesus Christ. That's what it was all about. And I walk out of the restaurant, and I'm doing this number. Aaron Reeves, he's ahead of me. He's all emotional, and the other three had already run away and left us. But it was just the impulse. It wasn't a big thing. It was just an impulse. Like as I began to fill out that deal, to sign the credit card receipt, we need to do something more. And God just laid something on their heart real quick, and we got it. We did it, and it had an impact in that person's life. Now, what will become of that? We'll never know in this life. And it's not important that we know in this life the seeds that we sow in somebody else's life. The fact is that we learn how to be obedient and sow the seeds that God tells us to sow, to do the acts of kindness, whether it's with money, whether it's through a Servolution project, whether it's simply obeying a prompting of the Holy Spirit to pick up and call somebody to go by and say something to somebody, or to just to do something in the name of the Lord. It's our job to be obedient. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do the work that he set out to accomplish. Peter and John was going to the prayer meeting, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, do this. And they did it. And then the Holy Spirit did the work that he wanted to do. It changed people's lives. Now, how can we change people's lives? One person at a time. One person at a time. Let's pray. Go and ask my prayer team to come. Father, thank you so much for the example that the Lord Jesus, with the woman at the well, the things that you put in the Bible to show us how that we're supposed to live the Christian life. Lord God, impress on our hearts. Use us for your kingdom and your glory. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you're here today and you have any kind of need in your life, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you need to reconnect with him. Maybe you've known him and you've gotten away. You need to come back. come and these people will pray with you. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. This is not a place for counseling up here. This is a place for prayer. And if you need prayer for anything, would you come at this time?